The title for our little thought this morning, we're sort of moving a little bit beyond our series of messages on prayer. We'll be going back to it from time to time. But our title this morning is Choosing. It's going to deal with our choices in life. I'm thinking how that recently we had a graduation, and there's a lot of things spoken about young people as they reach this particular stage in life, and we all have done it here. We've prayed for the Lord to guide them in their choices, and that's a real good prayer. And we should be praying for ourselves all along the way, that we also be guided in our choices, because life is made up of choices. We can't avoid them. We have choices every day of our life. I'm thinking that as life unfolds for us in our growing up and choosing a companion, there's a choice. Choosing a job, that's a choice. Now, these kind of choices can impact our lives, but oftentimes if we choose a job we don't like, we can do something about it. We can quit and go and look for another job. And the same with a house. A home. We can make some choices, and maybe after we have made that choice to purchase this house, we might find, well, it wasn't everything I expected it to be, and therefore I can change it. So there's a lot of things we make choices concerning our lives that we can recover ourselves from them. There's choices that you and I make, financial choices, sometimes good, sometimes not as good, and even that we can work with it and maybe recover losses or change our choices. But I want us to consider this morning more than earthly choices are the choices of our spiritual soul. It's the most important. And even in our choices that we make along our walk in life, our merciful God can help us. If we happen to make a wrong choice, He is so faithful. He is a God that desires you and me success. He wants you and me to be saved more than you want to be saved. And so therefore He's willing to work, and we've said this before, He's willing to work a lifetime for us, that we can see the end of our life and hear those words, well done. So our little thoughts today are going to be around the choices or choosing that we do in our life. And I know we've been speaking on prayer, and I've been thinking about how simple prayer can be. Prayer doesn't have to be complicated. It's just the cry of the heart. God, I am so glad that God understands our thoughts afar off. He perceives them. He understands our intentions, our purposes. He understands it all. But we can utter a prayer and not be on our knees, and He understands it. He receives it as a prayer, and that the prayer can simply, it is an avenue in which you and I cast all of our cares upon Him. And we have cares. We have cares in life. But most of all, I believe that God that prayer, it's a sign of our spiritual life. I read this somewhere that the success of our spiritual walk and our fruitfulness is the strength of our prayers. So even though we may be discussing the choices of life, I believe that they're the very word saying, I choose, is a prayer. And that's how the Lord has been working with me, especially this last week. So we could call it the prayer of choosing, but it's we're going to be discussing more on choices. Another thing that I read, it said that choices define us. And I think it's true. The scripture says that a child is known by his ways. I think that for us adults, we perceive each other's spirit by the choices that we see them making in life. So the choices that we make will define us, and also choices, it said, reveal our true inner inside preferences. Because what is in the heart, the scripture says, will come out. And so when we set our affections on something that is not spiritual, it will begin to reveal itself. But if we set our heart on the spiritual things of life, won't it be similar to the scripture that says that the one that was, who prayed in secret in his closet, and then the Lord rewarded him openly? It'll be evident if you and I have a closet experience with the Lord. So I'm thinking about the elements of our humanity that influences our choices, and that is our mind and our heart. You may be an influence on my life, but I am in control of what those influences will do to me. Because I still have a mind, I still am able to make judgments, I'm still able to analyze, I'm still able to consider and compare the things to the Word of God, and I can make choices then. I can either reject the choice or I can make the choice. So with my mind and my heart, the scripture, you know the scripture that it says we first must have a willing mind. And that's with any choices that you make in life, you've got to have a desire to make the right choice. And the scripture also says the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. So, you know, God made you and me free will, moral agents. No one is going to force you, not even God. When there were 10 lepers that were healed, how many went back? One. Did anybody go and catch them and say, why didn't you go back? No. They had a choice and they made that choice. So God isn't one that's going to force you and me, nor should either of us, any of us, try to compel or, be forceful. You have your choices to make. I have my choices to make. But it's being willing. The willing and the obedient are going to eat the result of their choices that they make in life. There's another scripture that says a double-minded man, what does it say? Is unstable in all of his ways. Now, what does a double-minded man represent? Well, on my phone, I sometimes have other translations that come up with the scriptures. And here's what it said. It said their loyalty is divided between God and the world. Well, you and I may be rejecting the world, but have we died to self? And so self can regulate and influence my thoughts and my choices. And I can, I've got to crucify the flesh. So it's a choice that I make. Let's see now. Oh, there is another scripture that is a commandment. And it says, you and I are to keep our hearts with all diligence, because there is the issues of life. It comes out of my heart. And so the word also, and I haven't been very fond of this particular scripture. It just sounds so negative. But the scripture says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But again, I searched that out, and it said the heart can be deceived. Now, my thoughts, my mind can also, I can be deceived. And that is why it is so important that we all recognize our weakness in our humanity, in our mind, in our hearts. Recognize it, but face it. Face it and go before the Lord. I would encourage us all. I do it. I pray this way just about every day, because I know that there is that potential that I can be blind and deceived and believe a lie about myself. So that's my prayer. Lord, don't let me be blind about myself. Don't let me believe a lie about myself. Don't let me be deceived. I urge us all to apply these thoughts in your own prayer for yourself. And I believe that God will protect us from deception. We do not have to be deceived, but the scripture warns us that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I want to encourage us to pray that way. And then there's a scripture over in Proverbs that simply says, and now we're moving away from the negative thought of what our humanity can be, but this is the secret. My son, give me your heart. And there will be a distinctive difference and change when you and I turn from our own flesh and desires, our passions, and focus on the things that are pleasing unto God, and we turn and willingly give Him our heart. Yes. And we willingly give Him our affections, our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our plans. Govern me. I mean, He has the government of the church on His shoulder. Does He not want to govern you? Absolutely. He wants to be the governor of each of our lives, because He has a desire that we be successful in our spiritual life, more so than financial or in materialistic things. Those kind of things are going to burn up, and always keep that in your mind. Everything that you are looking at today, when the trumpet of God sounds and time is no more, the scripture says that it's all reserved unto fire. The flood will not destroy the earth anymore, but fire will. And that's what we're looking at. Everything that I'm looking at will not be standing here. And so I don't place my hopes, I don't place my energies, I should not be placing all of my energies on the material things of life, but focus on that day when I stand before the judgment bar of God. To hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is the only words I hope to hear. Thank the Lord. So, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So, The Lord is desiring that we turn our attention away from the cares of life, the everyday busyness of life. Get your focus on that which is eternal. Thank the Lord. So our choices, I'm just going to make this statement before we begin to read the scripture. Our choices can lead to destruction. So let's turn to Deuteronomy now and read the 30th chapter. And I'm going to be reading from verses 15 through 19. And it says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply." Verse 17. "But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish." Verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You know, our choice is going to affect our children. That's what it's referring to here. It affects you. You know, you and I are not an island. We can't just live to ourselves and die to ourselves. It even goes a little bit further and it says that you are your brother's keeper. Well, it not only affects your life, your children's lives, it affects brothers and sisters in the Lord. It affects our neighbor. The choices that I make, the example that I am, and to say, "I choose life." Now you won't hear, I haven't heard, people emphatically say, "No, I choose death." You don't hear that. That's a negative thought. To choose death is that destruction that our choices can lead us to. But what a positive statement it can be. It can impact the choices of my mind and even the impact of my affections of my heart when I've made a choice and I've said, "I choose life. I want to live. I want my children to live. I want to be an example unto my brothers and sisters, unto all that I work with." See, when we make this choice that we choose life, we're going to impact many other people. So because we don't know what tomorrow is, I've got to address that just a little bit before I go on. Choosing actually takes place every day. I don't want to say routine because I don't want us to get in a routine. I don't want us to not be sensitive to the fact that God is calling for me to choose life every day. We know that the scriptures say that the Lord is coming back. And there are scoffers that say, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers went to sleep, all things..." But we know the scripture means what it says. And yet we can get in such a routine of life, we fail to think about today could be the last. And if we will draw our mind in, we will begin to concentrate on the age we're living in, the time we're living in, the potential of his coming any day? I'm looking for the Lord any day. I anticipate it coming, him coming. But we can become routine. And that's a danger to us. So don't get in a routine of, well, I don't know when the Lord's coming. It may be X number of years. I hope it isn't. I believe the Lord is looking on this earth and he sees that time is ripe. So there's a scripture then. It also says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we know the scriptures, that there's two masters. And the scripture simply says you're going to hate one and love the other, cleave to one and despise the other. You can't be fickle in your choices. You can't be today choosing one and tomorrow the other. It won't work. In reality, when you choose the other, you're choosing the other for all time until you see your heir. And so there's two masters, and we know there are two ways. And we know that there is a straight and a narrow way. We've been taught it all of our life. The scripture even says, few there be that find that way. In reality, it's few people have chosen that way. They could choose it. They could turn their heart toward God, give him their heart, and he would lead them in the straight and the narrow way. And where does it lead? It leads to life. So here I am now. I'm still choosing life. But the other way, we know the other way. It's the way of destruction. It is the broad and the way that leads to destruction. So we know that we have a choice. We're making a choice when we choose life or death, or we're choosing which master, or we're choosing which way. So for the burden of our little message this morning, we want to make some assumptions. I want to assume that we have made all of the right choices. That I personally have weighed the facts. I have considered the knowledge. I have considered the cost. Is there a price? There is a price that you will pay for whichever choice you make. If you choose life, oh, there's still a price. Price is denying yourself, leaving all of the world. That's a price. But there's a price if you choose death. It's a price that I don't think very many of us want to pay. We have a song that says, and somebody might help me with this. It's about, what is that song that it says, it will cost you more than you would want to pay. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you far more than you want to pay. There's a real message in that song that we need to allow it to influence our choice. A choice for life. So now we're going to assume that we've made all of the right choices. We counted the cost. You know what the scripture says. The man that didn't sit down and count up the cost of building this tower or this place, and he didn't have sufficient to finish. So we count the cost in our choices. And there's another scripture that says something about how long will you halt between two opinions? Well, that's when you might be in the valley of decision and you're trying to make a decision or a choice and you're halting. And it could be dangerous. So I have chose life and blessing. Good choice. I have chose the straight and the narrow way. Good choice. I have chosen to serve the true master. Good choice. And I chose to have a willing mind and an obedient heart. And I've also chosen to give God my whole heart. Good choices. All of those. And we're assuming, for the sake of the little message now, that we have all made the right choice. So it's a good start. A good foundation. But you know life isn't over. If life ended at the day or on the day that you made your choices to follow Christ, oh, that would be so easy. You could just die and go on to heaven and it'd be over. But you know, that's not how it is. Depending on your age this morning, you may have 70 years ahead of you, 50 years. You may have just a few years. Whatever the time is left in each of our lives, we will have to prove our choices. There's a contest. And the scripture sometimes calls it a race. And it says only one will win the prize. You know these things. But in a contest, we are put to the test. How serious are you about your choice? Have you made a choice that you are determined to make heaven? Of course, we know that it's going to take God and His grace, His power, His help. That's all we pursue when we seek God in prayer. Aren't we always asking God, give us grace, give us power, give us, help us to, how many times do we say the word help in a prayer? More times than I can count. I've really never tried to count, but I know it's a major word that I use in my prayers, whether for myself or somebody else. We are crying out to God to help us, and He will help us. He wants to help us. Thank the Lord. But you and I haven't made heaven yet, and we are going to be put to the test. I don't want to discourage us with that, but it's reality. And so I'm thinking of the words of Jesus that He said more than once, take up your cross. I wrote it down like this, embrace your cross. Fall in love with your cross. Oh, is a cross hard to love? It is. I remember a number of years ago, I was going through a really hard battle. Could not seem to really maintain my joy in the position or place that I was until the Lord spoke to me one day and He said, this is your cross. When I finally saw that this was ordered of the Lord, this was the cross that He ordered for me, I could embrace it and have joy. Don't push your cross back. Don't reject it. Don't Because it's given unto each one of us to help us make heaven. It's the thing that will help us to have victory in our life. Oh, you may battle. You may battle and you may weep and you may cry and you may suffer. We will suffer. But ultimately, when you stop and submit yourself unto the Lord and you say, I choose my cross, the victory will come. Thank the Lord. I can testify to it. I've had more, and you know what? In my battle, I've always been one that my face showed my spirit. And the congregation knew. They knew I was in a battle because I showed it on my face. Couldn't help it. But they also knew when I gained the victory. That's how the Lord wants to demonstrate. And you know how I've been telling you how the Lord has spoken to me in the position of being alone. The Lord spoke it to me. He said, I want you to demonstrate my grace. That's what He's calling for every one of us when we make these choices. And we're firm in those choices and we verbalize them and we say, I choose life. I choose. Did you know your words are very powerful? When you make a choice with your words and from your heart and with a willing mind. So we've got a race and Christ is saying, choose your cross. Choose the cross of Christ. So I'm even thinking that what the Lord has been dealing with my heart about, and I'm going to open myself up to you before the message is over, because it was during the meeting that the Lord began to deal with my heart about something. But I want to go on to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Do you want to be crucified? It's a painful thing to be crucified literally. It's a painful thing to crucify the flesh. I remember before I was in the ministry, the Lord was calling me to the ministry, but my flesh was drawing back. And it was at Monarch. And I had not submitted to the Lord in it at that time. It was on healing day. It was not a healing day message. I cannot remember what was said in the message that the Lord used to speak to my heart and caused me to see myself. But the Lord spoke to me sitting right there in that pew. And He said, my ministers are not always going to be liked. And you want to be liked. And you will compromise the truth to be liked. And as soon as the Lord said it to me, I knew it was true. I went down to the altar on that far east end and Sister Hargrave and Sister Sammons prayed with me. I could not even tell them I was being called to the ministry. All I could do was weep and pray and cry out. And I said, I want to be liked. Well, everybody wants to be liked. But God saw that I had something that would destroy me. And even though I hadn't been subject to the ministry at that time, I had to be crucified. I wept and prayed through the entire remaining part of the healing service. I literally became sick, but I came to the place that I was able to allow God to crucify that part of me that wanted to be liked. Does that mean I never had a problem ever again? No. But I go back to my consecration and we maintain our consecrations. And God will honor that. You may battle it again, but you never move away from it. God is calling for every one of us in the weakness of our humanity to be crucified, to give up to God that thing that will ultimately affect you so much you will not have a victorious life and you could even ultimately be lost. Had I held on to this characteristic in my life, I would not be here today. It would have led me away. The weaknesses that God sees in your life that needs to be crucified, submit to it. He will bless you. You will find it a strong place in your life. He will make it work for your good, thank the Lord. So, we need to be crucified. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 12. It says this about being an example. Be thou an example of the believers. If it just stopped right there, maybe you might say, well, I am a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He is the Son of God. But we had a little thought in our Sunday school lesson today. It goes beyond just making a profession. It goes beyond of just judging who I think or what I think believers are. The Word of the Lord gives us exactly in the areas that I need to be an example. I need to be an example in word. I need to be an example in my speech. I need to be an example in my conduct, in my conversation. I need to be an example in love. And I made a little note here. I said, not only how I would love the brethren, but how much I love the Lord. You know, it's going to come out. It's going to show forth that you love the Lord. Do you love the gospel? Do you love the church? Do you love the truth? I love. There's a song, part of a song that says, for her my tears do fall. Do you love the church enough to weep for it? You know, that's how the Lord wants us to demonstrate our love. Our love of the brethren. Jesus even said, He said, this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. That's one of the ways I'm going to demonstrate my love and being an example of the believers. And then it says, in faith, in trust, in believing. I know that you all have heard me say it so many times. When I come to the altar to be anointed, what am I saying? What do I say? Who has heard it and remembers what I say many times when I come to be anointed and prayed for?
I believe in this.
I really believe in this. I remember the first time that the Lord really inspired me with that. I was sick at home. And when I was sick at home, I would have Lorne anoint me. He anointed me many, many times. And I tell you, one time I was really needing the Lord to touch me. And as He anointed me, I said, honey, I really believe in this. And you know, when we make those kind of, it's like making a choice. I choose to believe in this. choose to believe in it. Have faith in God. And then the last one that we are to be an example in is purity. We are in an impure world. We're in a vile and wicked world. And every one of us can be drawn away into impurity. We can. Doesn't matter who we are. The potential is out there. But you can choose. I choose to be pure in heart. Because the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall what? See Him. You want to see God? Choose. Choose to be an example of God's people and what He wants us to be. Okay, I have one other, and this is the one that the Lord has really opened up this message through this experience. Appreciated Sarah thanking the Lord for helping me last week. It was a difficult week. The week before, I thought I could not face it. But I want to testify that the Lord miraculously helped me. And I was so glad. I was so thankful to have heard the messages that I did and that God was able to stir my heart. So I'm going to call this a vital choice. This is vital. This is one of the most vital choices you will make after you're saved, after you have chosen your cross, after you have chosen life, after you've made all of these right choices. This one is more vital, or most vital. And it has to do with what Jesus said in His prayer, the Lord's prayer. And what did He say? He said, forgive. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive. Just like I forgive others, I want you to forgive me. I'm going to say something that there, and I believe it's true with all my heart. I believe because the scripture said it's impossible but that offenses are going to come. I don't believe there is one person out of the 7+ billion people on the face of the earth. I don't believe there's one person that has escaped an offense at some time, a hurt, a wound. Every soul on the face of the earth is going to have to deal with it at some point, maybe many points in their life. I've had many hurts, but I don't want to emphasize them. I want to emphasize the help that God gives. Because He wants me to forgive so He can forgive me. This is His word. He went on, and after He gave that prayer, He made this scripture is, for if you forgive, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. So during the meeting, there was something that was said to me that resurrected a past hurt. And you might as well expect that to happen in your life. When you've gained the victory, the enemy wants to put a contest there. I began to seek the Lord. I began to ask the Lord to search me and try me and see if there is a wicked way in me. That's a good prayer too. I want to encourage everyone in your prayer, pray that prayer. God is so faithful. Well, I wanted to make sure that I had forgiven. And the thought came to me, well, you know, if somebody has hurt you, there's a big chance that you may have hurt them. It's a two-way street. So the Lord began to shine His light on me. I want to make sure I have forgiven, but I want to make sure that I haven't been a stumbling block to somebody else. And so I sent out some texts. I wanted to make sure I wasn't giving somebody else a battle. So the Lord really impressed it upon my mind, on my part of forgiving, is to say these words: I choose to forgive. So on my part, if you've done all you can to correct something on your part, God's going to accept it. But for me to say with my words, I choose it. It's powerful words. It's effective words. It will work. Somebody hurt you in the past? Choose life. Choose the good. Choose to forgive. So many scriptures deal with hurts and wounds and things such as that. And I'll give you another one. What about your enemies? Doesn't He say, love your enemies? There's people that's not lovable. But God can help you and me to love our enemies. And those that despitefully use us, we can choose. You can say those words. I choose to love my enemy. God will enable you. Thank the Lord. I choose to forgive. Sister Mary said in a message that there were going to be more people in hell because they did not forgive than any other sin. I'm choosing to forgive to make sure everything is clear in my soul. And then my last scripture, choose to overcome. Choose to overcome. Choose to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Oh, I want to tell you, God has power for you and me. He has grace for us. Thank the Lord. I want to also insert here that when you're having your struggle and your battle, He'll look for the weapon of warfare. That's what the Lord has done for me. I remember one time it was such a deep wound, I thought I could not get over it. And I've told this one here before. I could not pray. I could not utter any words in prayer. I was on my knees and I was only weeping. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, cover your mind, cover your spirit, and cover your emotions. And I knew the Lord was giving me a weapon of warfare. And so I said those words, and I was able to say two sentences, and the battle was back. And I used the weapon again, and I said two more sentences, and it went until I was able to pray. And that weapon, that was many years ago, the Lord gave that to me. I still use it today. Not necessarily for wounds and hurts, It's for anything that troubles us in our mind. You can claim the same weapon. Lord, cover my mind. Cover my spirit. Cover my emotions. That's what makes us human. And God is able to do it, and He's able to give us the victory. But we have to make the choice. Thank the Lord. My testimony is God works. He is able to help us. He has helped me so many times. And I know He wants to help every one of us too. Thank the Lord. I desire your prayers.